Welcome back. Today we'll be concluding the Stanley Gaddy interview. Enjoy.
Let's see. So I did want to ask you more about the church in Highview specifically, if you don't mind changing topics.
No, go ahead.
Did your family grow up attending the church, the Methodist church in Highview?
Yes. Yeah, that's where everybody in Highview area went to church at.
Okay. Was there like a Catholic-Protestant mix in Highview, or pretty much everybody was Protestant, is Protestant?
Well, the Highview, the church down here used to be in Raywick.
Mm-hmm.
And within, well, you might say virtually across the street was the Catholic church. And the Protestants moved in this area down here and settled in here. And it was, I think it started in 1935 or 6. They disassembled that Raywick church and moved it down here to this Highview community where it sits now. And I didn't know it until recently that the front doors on that church, they're great big doors. They were the original doors that was on the Highview church at Raywick.
No. Huh. Yeah, because they did, like, physically move the church, right? Like, the building,
right.
a lot of it.
They disassembled it and hauled it down here on horse-drawn wagons. I forget how many, four, five, six loads of pieces of the church at Raywick was hauled down here a day and reassembled here on site. They'd go back to Raywick with their empty wagons and get some more loads of wood and haul it down here and put it up. And it was torn down and re-erected.
Great. Yeah, that seems like a pretty incredible that they were able to do that.
Well, that kind of goes along with what I was saying a while ago. You know, if you needed something, you took care of it. The community took care of it. And we've got away from that now. Nobody knows how to do anything anymore. Used to, my dad had a shop on the farm over there, and I don't know how many. Well, that's where I first learned how to be a mechanic, I guess, of working in a shop with him. And I got to where I could. Well, I was about 11 or 12 years old, I guess. I could tear down a motor and rebuild it myself.
Wow.
And we did that kind of work all the time and repair things like brakes, for example, on your car, you know, the pistons and the cylinders would get to leaking and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd take them apart and hone them out, put new cups in there, and put the brake and the wheels all back together, and everything worked like brand new. But nowadays, nobody knows how to do anything but R&R. That's remove and replace. Nobody knows how to fix anything.
Yeah. But to go back
That's another thing I saw come and go. People knew how to do things years ago. They don't know how to do anything now. Just, okay, I get a new part put on there. Remove and replace, which majority of stuff can be repaired, but nobody knows how to repair anything anymore.
Yeah, that's for sure. but to go back to the church, are there events that are held at the church that really stand out? I think the history book mentioned, like, dinner on the grounds, but I also wondered, you know, people host, like, the major life events at the church, or are there other, like, kind of annual events that really stick out?
Well, when I was growing up, the church was very, very active, and we had about, I don't know, 20, 25 girls, and the girls had us outnumbered. There were more girls than was boys, but there was probably 16, 18 boys. And there was something going on at that church all the time. I mean, hardly a weekend went by that we wasn't at somebody's house for a party, or we was having a ball game, or the whole church would go and we'd have a skating party or hayride. I mean, it's something going on all the time. Christmas parties, Halloween parties, Thanksgiving dinners, and the dinners on the ground, I remember those very well. The people would bring 4 or 5 wagons in there and put sheets over the wagons, and they put food on those from one end to the other. And I remember though that was a feast. And these country ladies, they really knew how to cook. And no pun included, but most women, there's still a few women around that can cook, but most women nowadays, oh, let me go to Walmart and get a cardboard pizza and we'll have that for supper.
Yeah. Quick and convenient route. So
Yeah.
were the dinners, were they held for special events or like for special occasions, or were the just like a regular thing that, okay, we're gonna do dinner on
Yeah,
the ground this week?
yeah, the dinner on the grounds, that was usually we'd do that 2 or 3 times a year, summer, in the summer months. And we had special events. Every summer we'd have a revival, and the church would be packed. It'd be standing room only. And that's another thing that's changed. Back then, I called them hellfire brimstone preachers. You know, I mean, they'd get up there and they'd really talk to you. Well, they don't do that no more. Sermons nowadays are pretty docile compared to what I grew up with.
Yeah, can you tell me anything else about the summer revival? Would people come from, was it mainly just like people from Highview area who were coming, or was other people
No,
coming?
when we had revivals, people come in here from everywhere. They come from Lebanon and Hodgensville, Camelsville, Barstown. Just about everybody in the community went, but there was a lot of people that would come in here, from the surrounding areas, Lebanon, and it was usually, best I can remember, in June or July, somewhere around in that. It got pretty hot, and of course,
Yeah.
the church didn't have AC, and you got that preacher up there, and boy, he's giving everybody down the road, with these hellfire and brimstone. Those revival preachers, they really got right. But anyway, I was a little guy, and we usually set up, not on the front row, but about third pew back or something like that. And I was at it'd be at night, and we would have candles on the piano, because we had overhead light, but we didn't have any lights on the piano for the pianist to play the piano. So we had candles on each side so she'd have a little light. And I was always fascinated by watching the watching these camelflies that would fly around in the summertime. And they'd dive bomb into that flame and they'd burn their wings off. I always thought that
Wow.
was funny.
How long would the revival last over the summer?
It usually lasted 7 days or 6, 7 days, a week, or I guess it was, let's see, 6 days. It lasts 6 days.
Okay. Did people who were not from Highview, did they like camp out on the grounds, or did they like just go back and forth to their homes every day?
No, they went back and forth. Nobody camped out over there.
Okay, yeah. Was there a lot of like music involved too with that?
Oh yeah, we'd have guest singers come in, and they would sing several songs, and I don't know of any. I guess there's still churches probably do that, but we haven't done that Oh, let's see. We probably quit that in the probably in the late 60s.
Okay, yeah. Been a
Maybe
while.
early 70s.
So what are some of your favorite things about living in Highview or in that part of Marion County? Like what stands out about living there?
Well, I grew up down here, and I knew everybody down here. And I'm quite an outdoorsman. I hunt and fish, and there is not a rock or a hole or a cave or anything down here that I haven't been in. And I don't know how familiar you are with this area, but the road that runs behind Gleanings, that goes up over Levelwood toward Campbellsville.
Okay.
Okay. The road on the other side of Raywick that goes up Dug Hill, which goes up on top of Scotch Ridge. Okay, I hunted that whole area through. I had a permission to hunt everything from those two roads, and that was probably the way the crow flew, probably 5 6 miles. And I hunted that for years and years and years. And then, like I said a while ago, the young people would move off to the city to get them a job. They didn't want to stay on the farm, you know. Of course, it got real hard to make a living on a small farm, you know. Out real small, you could do pretty good on a small farm, and then things started going toward the big, and the little man was going out, and all the young folks started moving away, and the people would get old or too bad off to take care of the farm or pass away, and then people from Lexington, Louisville, or whoever, from wherever, would come here and buy a strip of land, which I had rights to hunt on or permission to hunt on. And then that parcel of land become well, I couldn't didn't have permission to be on it anymore.
Right.
And these people that come in here from outside, you know, they don't even want you to look at your land, let alone walk on it. And that you know, my hunting area kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and it's been about 10 or 12 years ago, I guess, I lost the last parcel of land that I had permission to hunt on. So if I go hunting anywhere now, I have to find some kind of federal land or something that's open to the public to go hunt on.
Are there any other changes in the area or in the community that you want to talk about?
Well, when I grew up, like I told you, when the community phone system died, for several years there wasn't a phone service down here. And then the telephone come in here and give everybody a phone as a party line. And that was about the most aggravating thing it ever was, because you'd go to call somebody, and before you could get on dialing, a lot of times you could hear a phone making a clicking noise or something, you know. And we had a bunch of elderly ladies down here that they'd hear that phone clicking, they'd run over and pick that phone up, and everybody heard everybody's business, you know. It was hard, you know. A lot of times they'd leave the phone off the hook for whether it was accidentally or on purpose, mostly accidental, I think. He couldn't get a phone out because somebody had their phone off, and that killed the whole line. And
Oh, gosh.
that went on for years. And finally, we got a 3-party line. Well, that helped a whole lot. You know, it wouldn't wasn't near as many people listening to you, but still it was aggravating. And then that lasted for several years. And then finally we got to private lines, and everybody thought they'd gone to heaven when that happened. But it was problematic too, but we progressed from that. And now everybody's got computers. And on this end of the county where I live, the phone service and the computer service is at best moderate, I guess you'd say. Sometimes it's here and sometimes it's not. I've been talking to you now for several minutes, and very seldom do I talk to anybody that long on this phone that it doesn't drop off.
Oh, that's good to know.
I think I got two bars today. That's usually about a half a bar to a bar is what I got, but I'm showing two today, so I'm doing real good.
Yeah. So what do you hope to see for Highview in the future?
Well, what I would like to see, I don't think will ever come to pass, but the future is inevitable, you know. I'm the last one in this area, in this Highview community, that still owns land that was back years and years ago when everybody in the community owned a piece of this land. You know, everything's been bought up by different people, and I'm just a little hunk right in the middle of them. I live about a half a mile from the church, and and when I go, it'll well, I won't say that'd be the end of the church, but like I said, you know, I've watched it decrease in people for the years, and it's getting smaller and smaller. So at some point in time, I think it will cease to exist. They'll probably rename the community to who knows what.
So was the community named for the church or the church for the community?
I don't know. It goes back too far for me, but the church was Highview Church. And when they put the church there, I think this become the Highview area.
Okay.
That's just my opinion. I don't know. I have to do some real deep researching on that to find out about that.
Well, I think that's all the questions that I had. Is there anything else that you want to add?
No, I can't think of anything right now. I think we've covered everything pretty well.
All right. And is there anybody who you would recommend also interviewing? Because now you know the set of questions and kind of the stuff that we're asking about with this project. And it's really great to talk with you about it.
Like I said, I'm the oldest member of the church. Now, if you had come along 2 years earlier, we still had some of the real old ladies that helped build a church, I guess you would say, and they were still alive, but they're gone now.
Oh,
like I said, I'm the last one. I'm the diehard.
Well, I'm glad you're still around to talk to, because this has been great.
Okay. Well, I hope I have helped you out there.
Yeah. All right. I will email you the audio recording and a transcript when I get that done.
Okay. Now you're working on one thing I might add to that. The road that all the people down here call going up the creek. Now, up the creek means either Dry Fork or South Fork. they call it different names nowadays. I won't say what it is, but that was Stagecoach Road. And my father can remember when the stage, well, of course, my father's gone now, but he used to tell me tales about the stagecoach coming around through there and right up the road, up a creek here about 2, maybe 3 miles, there was a stagecoach stop there.
Oh.
Blacksmith shop and all that. That stagecoach stop was just Throwing Rock distance over the Marion County line into LaRue County.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought I'd throw that tidbit in there for you.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah, my dad said that, of course, coming down those narrow creek roads and whatnot, they were just more or less horse trails. He said the stagecoach was always getting robbed back in there somewhere. We had bandits down here.
Wow.
You think in terms, let's just say 100 years, you know, the country and everything has really, really, really changed in the past 100 years. I mean, I'm 73 years old, and I can go back to the end of horses when tractors come on, you know.
So, yeah.
You get to think about it, it's just amazing.
It is. Yeah, it's surprising to me, too. I mean, my grandparents are, like, 20 years older than you. So, it's like, you know, speaking with people who remember not having running water and electricity seems crazy to me.
Yeah. I mean, you talk to somebody nowadays about not having running water, well, they just can't conceive that. Well,
right?
Running water... running water's always been here.
Yeah, it's like, I can hardly think of a time without the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So different now. All right. Well, it was good talking with you.
Yeah, I enjoyed talking to you. If you need more information, holler at me.
Will do. All right. Have
I'll
a good afternoon.
Yeah. You too. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
This concludes the interview with Stanley Gaddy, but don't worry, we have many more episodes to come. Thank you for listening.